Chris, Blue Jays, nothing. Bottom of the sixth. Yimmy Garcia in here facing Aaron Judge. Count is 1-2 with one out. Strong outing for Yusei Kikuchi today. How do you feel about the Toronto Blue Jays so far? Are you panicking?
I'm glad we got to this.
Yeah, this is cold open material because we've got lots to do today isn't sports related, but we got to get.
We can't get to too much sports stuff.
By the way.
Oh, Aaron Judge struck out.
I know, hard to believe.
They're currently last in the division, technically speaking.
Yes. They have a negative 14 run differential.
They've not played at home.
That's true. And they've played three good teams.
Just worth thinking about. They've played three good teams. Although, the Houston Astros did not have a win before.
That's true, because they were
the
playing.
The Houston Astros are 2-5, albeit with a plus 7 run differential, thanks to the Blue Jays.
Yes. But the Astros are some still credit for good.
That. Yes, I would think so. But I am concerned. I think that the whole thing about this offseason was this team that was like the problem with last year, so they were saying, was like they weren't consistent enough with their offense. Obviously, everyone remembers what happened towards the end of the season, that their offense like fell off a cliff.
Yeah.
And they were struggling to score runs. And then they were like, the goal this year is to be consistent and to like produce on both sides of the ball on a more consistent basis.
That's a good goal.
It's a great goal. This year, they've scored, I'll just quickly read you the runs that they've scored in a game. 8.
Good.
2.
Oh.
1.
Oh.
9.
Oh, good.
0.
Oh.
2.
Eh.
0.
Oh.
And
so
now
that doesn't
currently
seem very consistent.
Top of the seventh, they have 0 again.
Listen, I was a believer, but there's not a lot to go off right now. I do think we see this all the time. Bats take longer to wake up at the start of the season than arms. But like, this is just a thing where they are losing people left, right, and center. I won't forget last year when the Texas Rangers were coming to town and they were like tied for the last wildcard spot. It was like mid to late August. And I was like, holy crap, these are hugely important games. I'm going to get tickets to two of these games. Like, the crowd's going to be great. Every pitch matters. This is what baseball's all about. And it was like 2/3 full and no one really cared. It's like, that's anecdotal evidence, but people don't care about this baseball team. People are sick and tired.
Well, I mean, like,
I mean, they care, but they're not going to spend money to see it.
Right. And also, like, they haven't really been given a reason to want to, like, really feel like they need to go out and see the Blue Jays, I have to say. Like, their most exciting move of the last few seasons is, like, they've traded for Jose Barrios.
Yeah.
Which was, like, you know, that was a successful trade, don't get me wrong. But if that's, like, your big move over the last 3 years, two of which, at the bare minimum of one of which, you were favored to be in the World Series.
Yeah.
And that's the best you did. I think it's a little underwhelming, frankly. Yeah. Also, just want to quickly to sort of circle back on a conversation we had a couple weeks ago, I believe. I saw an interesting little nugget the other day on television talking about whether it's time to reassess Brad Treliving's first season with the Maple Leafs and whether he deserves more credit than we've been giving him thus far.
Nope. Team's not good.
Did you know that they beat the Panthers?
I did know that they beat the Panthers. I also know that they allowed like 3 goals in the third period to the Panthers. Listen, their whole thing is that they're built for playoffs, right? Joel Edmondson and Tyler Bertuzzi and all that is built for playoff grit and grind.
Also, ever since Tyler Bertuzzi heard you talking,
he's been
SH asterisk T, he's really turned it on.
Listen, I want them to be good.
Is there
want
anyone you
want to
call out
work
now?
As Ernie Clement lines a ball into the left field seats, Blue Jays take the 1-0 lead.
Wow. I will say also, I just want to mention, it is like 3 p.m.
Yeah, I don't know why they're playing a day game on a Friday in the first game of the series.
I meant the scheduling of our podcast.
Oh. Why? I don't get what you're getting at.
Nothing. Griffin, is there anyone you want to call out on the Blue Jay? Or, well, on the Blue Jays, sure. You can call someone on the Blue Jays.
Everyone on the Blue Jays is getting called out. Don Mattingly, the offensive coordinator, is getting called out.
Yeah, he hasn't been coordinating much of an offense thus far, I have to say.
Wait, what were you talking about with the start time of our podcast? Or do you just mean we should get going?
Yeah, pretty much. That was the gist of it. Just quickly, just as a little teaser for the fans, I want to just throw one in here right now. Do it. You're fully watching the Blue Jays game.
I'm listening to you, too.
Which album? Just as a teaser, do you want to quickly do a matchup here?
Sure. I don't know either of these songs. You go. It occurred to me as I was booting this up that I could have used the past week to listen to the songs that I don't know, but I feel like that would rob this of some of its magic.
Sure, I famously watched like 5 movies in a week.
You love movies, though.
You hate music.
Yeah.
I want to put Long Story Short through. It's ours versus Long Story Short, by the way. I like Long Story Short quite a bit.
You know which songs I know. Do I know either of these?
You probably know ours. It's a bonus track on Speak Now, but you've probably heard it before.
Probably.
It goes like this. Don't you worry your pretty little mouth.
Oh, yeah, I know that one.
Okay, there you go.
See, that's all I need. I'm not good with titles.
Title.com.
All right, let's start the show.
The Ultra Quiet Nice.
It's the name of my very quiet band. The Ultra Quiet Nice.
Okay.
That's our whole thing, is that we don't play very loud.
Go ahead and... Guantanamo Bay has a gift shop. I'm learning new things all the time. Go ahead and introduce the
podcast.
But
I'm in trouble for not paying attention.
I'm running this damn ship.
Welcome into High Floor, Low Ceiling, everybody. It's part 2 of many of the Taylor Swift Mega Bracket. 128 songs enter, one will leave. Before we get into that, Chris, quickly, any thoughts on the real March Madnesses? Or just...
I keep forgetting that you can see my screen share.
Yeah, I will so be calling you out.
So you noticed that I was opening up Microsoft Teams, but I'll just open it in a separate window and put that window over your face, and that will be fine.
I don't like that very much.
Just because, Griffin, I'm getting a telephone call and they've left a message, and quite frankly, I think that they are calling me about my broken work laptop. That's right, folks. My laptop stopped working.
I'm very sorry to hear that.
Seemed to have some kind of short or perhaps a motherboard issue. The keyboard lights are pulsing when you press the power button, but the system fails to post.
Well, we don't want that to be happening. I have had good experiences with the interior Rogers tech guys.
Mm-hmm. So the ministers of the interior, we call them.
March Madnesses.
Yes. No real thoughts. The NC State phenomenon is ongoing.
Yep. Tonight, that... of course, is Iowa versus UConn.
Mm-hmm.
Beckers versus Clark.
The Gold Rush, they should call it. Because, Idaho.
UConn. I see.
Because you got UConn, but then you've got the, of course, famous Iowa Gold Potatoes.
Oh. Is that a thing? I do like a golden potato. Are those from Iowa? I thought Iowa was like...
It's Idaho, wheat. But...
Okay, yeah.
And wheat means 8 in French. Just something to think about while you're...
Just makes you wonder how high this all really goes.
I'm making all kinds of connections.
Yeah, who you got? Clark or Beckers? Or the Hawkeyes or the Huskies?
I don't know how much I trust the old Hawkeyes, I have to say.
Really? Even after the display they put on against the Tigers of Louisiana State?
Well, you know. But I won't pretend to know a lot, but I'll call it for UConn.
Okay. I agree. I'm in on UConn as well.
Yeah, I thought you might want to take the oppositional stance so we could sort of have a
discussion.
No, I don't really want to discuss it. Just so that I was more thinking just like spreading the wealth.
Mm, so that we're not all in. We want to diversify.
Yeah, we don't want to stake an HFLC point on UConn showing up tonight.
Well, I will. If UConn wins, we both get an HFLC point.
That would be huge for me. I've been short on them for months now, it feels like.
You just need one. You don't care if I get one. You just really need one.
Yeah, it's more about volume than it is about a comparison. I'm not really a rival.
Yeah.
The Rockets, Griffin, seem to be out of contention for the play-in, or maybe they can sneak into the 10th seed.
I think they can still sneak in. I believe in the Houston Rockets.
But they are, like, on paper, basically dead.
Yeah.
After, of course, the Golden State-Houston head-to-head matchup. They are now 4 games back with 6 games remaining.
I believe in the Houston Rockets.
They can sneak it in. Anything else in sports? Shohei Ohtani continues to...
The only thing we have to fear are the Golden State Warriors winning 3 games of the 6 remaining.
And also you have to win 6, John F. Kennedy.
In the Houston Rockets. I feel like that's a solid Kennedy. Having never heard the man speak.
And there's a connection there because he famously had his "Why do we go to the moon" speech.
We go to the moon not because it is easy, but because it is hard.
And, you know, Houston, that's Space City, so.
John F. Kennedy.
What?
Loves Houston.
Why is Houston Space City? NASA's not in Houston, surely, right?
Famously, NASA is in Houston.
What? But they're not, shouldn't they be in Florida?
That's Cape Canaveral, where the rockets launch from, because that's ideal rocket launching conditions, but NASA itself is in Houston.
Wow.
Probably something to do with signals to space.
Shouldn't they
not
be
a lot
in
of
Miami?
Clouds in Houston.
Mm.
They should be in the club.
What? Who should?
NASA. you said they should be in Miami. They should have been in the club.
Sure, they should have hooped. Of course, Houston, famous for not having any clubs.
Speaking of Houston, Cowboy Carter, quick thoughts.
Haven't listened.
You're so out of touch with pop culture.
I saw the track list and its length, and I thought perhaps another time.
There are several songs on there that are like less than a minute and are more like little vignettes.
Interludes.
Yeah.
I'll say it, because I brought this up the other day. Does not seem to be doing big numbers on streaming.
Really?
Yeah, like, you see like sub 10 million streams for an album that came out a week ago. I know, obviously, that's a huge number in a vacuum, but for a Beyonce album, you know?
It's surprising. Well, I have no thoughts on that. Okay. All right, shall we continue? We're hoping to finish the first round today. That's our big goal.
Yeah, and just quickly, more Shohei Ohtani drama.
Oh, yes.
Did you hear about this?
Drama.
You got this.
Shohei Ohtrama.
That's good. If he keeps getting so much trouble, that's perfect. Shohei Ohtrama. If he keeps getting into all this trouble, they're gonna start calling him Shohei OJ Tani.
Oh my god!
Like that other famous athlete that got into some trouble.
Yes, they've done the same thing.
Well,
technically, Otani's currently under criminal investigation. OJ was cleared.
OJ was...
Hashtag free OJ.
They did.
They famously did.
Okay. I'm glad we could get that in there. Griffin,
yeah.
I feel like we need a system.
Oh, yeah.
To really tackle this.
Matchup by matchup.
I don't have any suggestions. I just feel like it's taking a long time.
It is taking a long time. Luckily, we're only 15 minutes into this one. So I feel like if we really put our head down, we can get through tons of stuff here.
And you've listened to all these songs, right?
Yes, all of them. I have them all memorized.
Okay, perfect. Okay, next is Red versus the Lucky One, Griffin.
These are both really good songs. I like the Lucky One a lot, but I'll go with Red. It's a title track. It gets a little prestige points.
Yeah, I think I like Red's driving nature.
Yeah.
I do really like the Lucky One. I think it's a very lyrically interesting song. I think it sort of goes into some territory that she doesn't usually dip her toe into, especially in that era, but I'm happy to go with Red there. Griffin, two songs you definitely know.
Yeah.
I think he knows from Lover. I believe it's the maybe the seventh song on Lover.
Oh, good.
And, of course, Babe, originally it was recorded by someone else, and then she recorded it for Red Taylor's version. Of course, famously originally recorded by Sugarland.
Oh, of course.
And I believe co-wrote with the guy from Train. I know a lot about the song for some reason.
Yeah, you know a lot about Babe. Do you want to send Babe through? I think he knows, but...
I really like I Think He Knows, now that I think about it. Great Bridge, of course, famously.
Of course. Well, it is on Lover, after all.
Absolutely. I really like the way that it sort of starts as, like, you think it's like a moody, almost like Reputation type of track. But then it sort of blossoms into a much more joyous sound, yeah, which I really like.
All right, it sounds like it's I Think He Knows.
Wow. I think we know what's going to win. just quickly, let's do a mini bracket here.
Oh, boy.
I've got four songs here. okay, matchup number one is Drops of Jupiter versus Hey Soul Sister.
Drops of Jupiter.
Okay, Drops of Jupiter.
Upset, win.
And then three and four is Drive-By versus Cruise. And I know what you're thinking.
Cruise by
is by Florida Georgia Line. Right.
But it's in there. That's the Cruise we're talking about?
But yes, it is that Cruise.
Drive-By.
Okay.
I mean, Cruise is really good. But Drive-By is a really good song.
All right. So in the finals of the Train bracket, it's Drops of Jupiter versus Drive-By. Alright.
One of them is more epic, one of them's more fun. It's Drive-By. Drive-By wins.
Should we put Drive-By in a play-in game in the last match?
Next year we'll do three quadrants that are Taylor and one quadrant that are just other songs, and then
Other is good. Griffin, we got a big one here. Anti-Hero versus, of course, the Midnight's 3 a.m. edition track, Bigger Than the Whole Sky.
Yeah, I think it's Anti-Hero.
I think so as well. And
big hit, some are saying.
Ever? She literally, I will say, despite not releasing an album since then, she has had a hit since then.
That's because true.
Cruel Summer was a big billboard hit.
And that's why you go on tour.
That is why you go on tour. Wow. Fan favorites. And by fan, I mean people that live with me. Nothing New, another Red Taylor's version song versus Dress. Some say her gayest song.
Wow. Well, I'm going to sit this one out.
No, tell me, Griffin, which one. I feel like it's basically a fact that you haven't heard Nothing New.
Listen, I don't know the titles. What album?
Red Taylor's version. It's featuring Phoebe Bridgers, of course, Griffin. Speaking of gay ass.
Yeah. Wait, isn't she straight? She's dating...
Allegedly.
Bo Burnham.
Yeah,
not
sure.
That you have to be straight to date Bo Burnham.
Y'all bet you have to be really straight to date Paul Mescal, too. Did you know that it's Paul Mescal, Griffin? Not Mescal?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. I feel like most people don't know that.
Paul Mescal. That's his name.
You definitely didn't know that.
I wasn't going around calling him Paul Mescal. I got in trouble with my girlfriend the other day for calling him Timothée Chalamet. She said you either have to say Timothée or Timothy. You can't say Timothée.
That's a good point.
I feel like people call him Timothée Chalamet. Do people not call him Timothée Chalamet?
Well, Andy Samberg calls him that in his at the Indie Spirit Awards in I believe 2018 for the movies of 2017, when he does a parody of Don't You Forget About Me. I see that your eyes are slipping towards the Blue Jays, but I really need you here, Griffin.
I'm locked in.
It's called Don't You Forget About Us, and it's for all of the filmmakers and people in the film industry that are going to get more famous in the following year. And he's, as Judd Nelson from The Breakfast Club, singing a parody of Don't You Forget About Me.
That's fun. Fun concept for Andy. My world was rocked today when I saw that Seth Meyers and the Lonely Island have announced a new podcast where they are apparently going through every SNL digital short one by one, talking about them. So that will be life-changing for me.
I hope they talk some SH asterisk T about Please Don't Destroy.
Yeah, just every episode they're like, and then these new fucking kids come on the scene.
These Nepo babies.
Yeah. No, those are massive figures in my life, and I'm very excited for that. Big plug.
You certainly are.
And I sent it to my group chat, and one of my friends goes, was Seth Meyers an SNL guy? Like, Jesus Christ.
What's John Mulaney doing here?
Yeah.
He'll be on the show.
Oh, for sure. He's in the Like a Boss video.
For sure. I love both these songs, Griffin. You don't care about either one of them.
Is Evie around? Can we get her vote?
Mm-hmm. All right. I'll mute for a second.
I'll vamp. I'll live commentate the Blue Jays. Yenesis Cabrera into the game to face Anthony Rizzo. Blue Jays now up 1-0 in the bottom of the seventh. Full count. And Cabrera off to a slow start to the season. Suspended for 2 games, of course, for getting in that shoving matchup. And opponents hitting .444 off him to start the year. That's no good.
Yikes.
ERA of 18. Rizzo staring down Cabrera. Full count pitch on the way.
Hey, I loved him in Greece.
Rizzo. Grounder, up the hole. I had to stop because I said up the hole. goes to Bichette, who throws it over to Vladdy for the out. Great. I've never really done baseball in a professional capacity. That's the only sport that I haven't commented.
And now you have.
Now I have. Will you pay me?
Shouldn't our fans be paying you?
Yeah, the Patreon. Don't forget about the Patreon, folks.
Yeah, don't forget to subscribe to the Patreon. It's patreon.com/blankcheck.
Whoa. I just finished the Back to the Future episode. Great episode.
Wow. Fascinating stuff. I don't know why I had to pull Evie. I knew she would say Nothing New, a song that makes her cry every time she hears it.
Wow, that seems like a weakness. Not like she's weak for that, but just like, that seems like it could hit you at inopportune times if you're just like in the grocery store or something. Weakness.
Yeah, Nothing New by Taylor Swift starts playing. You should listen to that song. I'll probably cry. I'm going to put you up to the task of listening to all these songs once
we get to 64. I'll make sure I know all the second round songs. Yeah.
Okay. Just like I want you to like know them, not just have listened to them.
No, I will know them in my soul.
Exactly. I think we're going to put Nothing New through. I'm glad that that was a nice short one after we kind of ate up all the anti-hero time that we saved and then some.
23 minutes in. No breaks again this week, folks. We're going straight fucking through. Oop. Apologies to Sharon.
Oh, by the way, I just want to say, Sharon's birthday today.
Oh, happy birthday, Sharon. For your present, we're going to put Message in a Bottle up against My Tears Ricochet.
This is so stupid. Every time I just start realizing how stupid this is.
I love the bracket episodes. I don't know about you.
It's not the concept of the bracket. It's that
we're devoting like a month.
In a bottle against My Tears Ricochet.
Is this Message in a Bottle by the Police? Because I love that song.
No, just you said this was good last week.
I am lost at sea.
Do you want to quickly do a Police bracket?
Yeah, give me 4.
Okay, so Message in a Bottle versus Roxanne.
Oh. I really love Message in a Bottle, but I think it's Roxanne.
Okay. Got Roxanne through. And then the other matchup is Don't Stand So Close to Me, of course.
Great song.
And Fields of Gold by Sting.
Okay. I don't know Sting's solo stuff. I only know the Police.
Okay. So it's very Don't Stand So Close to Me, a song you love, which I think is sort of about, like, you know.
It's about something untowards.
And Roxanne, which I think is also probably about something untowards.
You don't have to put on. It's about a guy not supporting his girlfriend's dream of being a sex worker.
Hey, we've all seen Moulin Rouge. We know what's up. How high can you lift your ring finger while we're at it?
Like this, but I have to like pin down my other fingers to do it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go with Roxanne, Greatest Place. Okay. Roxanne with an honorable mention to So Lonely.
Sure.
So lonely. So lonely. Anyway, this one's My Tears Ricochet.
Great choice. I'm happy to put that through. Although I do love Message in a Bottle. Underrated. Another Red Taylor's Version bonus track. Griffin, two lover songs here. Paper Rings versus Death by a Thousand Cuts.
Oh, these are two excellent, excellent songs.
Absolutely.
I'm a huge...
I mean, you want to talk about great bridges.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Paper Rings, and I would vote for that. But I know that you like Death by a Thousand Cuts a lot.
I think Death by a Thousand Cuts is one of her best songs, but... I like both these songs.
We can do Death by Paper Rings is just... Whenever I hear Paper Rings, I want to be, like, in a musical. Like, I want to be doing a choreographed group dance to Paper Rings.
I fully understand what you're saying. I'm okay with putting Paper Rings through. I really...
Well, on Death by a Thousand Cuts, you don't want to say goodbye to this song, because saying goodbye is like Death by a Thousand Cuts.
Mm.
Something, something, something Flashback you up.
Me up.
Get drunk and not enough, cause doo-ba-doo. Not my baby and is Death by a Thousand Cuts.
You are losing your edge.
Well, that's probably because I've done a thousand cuts. It's dull.
Also an LCD Sound System song.
Let's give it to Death by a Thousand Cuts.
Okay. Griffin, two...
Take that, Emilio. Emilio hate-messaged me on Twitter this week.
Is that true?
Yeah, he said something and then didn't respond when I responded to him. Despite Sounds the fact like that him. He's been tweeting about the Blue Jays all week. Oh, he left me on red. He said, I'm all over this HFLC rent-free. And yeah, that's incredibly accurate.
Yeah. Oh, good stuff, good stuff, good stuff. Griffin, two first-person articles here. I Did Something Bad versus I Know Places.
The 47 seed going up against the 82 seed in this one.
Just wait till the 7 goes up against the 122 next time.
I think this one's I Did Something Bad, because I don't really know I Know Places.
I Know Places, of course, from 1989. People like that one. I've never been particularly partial to it. Sort of some interesting imagery, though. State of Grace versus Hits Different, Griffin. Of course, Hits Different, a song you definitely don't know.
I know Hits Different. Oh, my, there was love. Mm-hmm. Were you baiting
I love
me into,
that song.
Into singing Hits Different?
No, not at all. I promise you that.
No, I like Hits Different a lot.
You happy to send that through?
Yeah.
I quite like Save Grace too. Griffin, this one's for the gays. You Need to Calm Down versus Getaway Car.
Once again, as a grocery store employee in 2020, the answer is not You Need to Calm Down. It is Getaway Car. Getaway Car would beat most songs, I think. Getaway Car is a high seed.
Wow. Okay.
It's on my running playlist. Great song.
Griffin, Delicate from Reputation versus Say Don't Go, an 1889 Volt track. Are we happy to put Delicate through, or do you have
We are, but I do like go? I like Say Don't Go.
I do as well.
That's what most of this discussion is.
Absolutely. Frankly, I like almost all of these songs.
Yeah. This matchup's crazy.
Yeah.
For the first round of 128.
It's a 1989 matchup, Shake It Off versus Style. Two songs people probably know. So this is
Yeah, I know
part
both
of
these.
Episode.
Everyone tune in, lock in. Put down your what do you think
stop
people
looking,
do?
Stop looking at the Blue Jays score.
I can talk while I
No, I'm talking to the audience.
Just pull over your car. If you're on the bus, ask the bus to pull over.
Mm-hmm.
Pull the stop request.
I killed the bus driver.
Oh my god.
From Dark Knight? Not like, never mind.
What? Is there a part in the Dark Knight where someone kills a bus driver?
Oh, come on, it's the beginning.
Oh yeah, I forgot about the bus part of that. I was so focused on
the
bank.
Bus driver. Yeah, well, how do they escape, buddy?
Chris, quick thoughts on Bud Light Double Lime, the presenting sponsor.
I did immediately have thoughts on Bud Light Double Lime, which was, number one, stupid name. Just say, like, more lime. And it could be a Drake partnership because he has more life.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. He's kind of getting cooked these days.
Yeah. Did you see J. Cole's big response?
I saw that people did not care for J. Cole's big response.
He was like, two of your albums were really good, but one I didn't like.
And the one he didn't like was like his best album.
Yeah, he said, well, never mind. We won't get into the specifics of what J. Cole said in his 7-minute diss track on his new album.
7 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
Cool guy, J. Cole. Absolutely.
Seems
what
like
it.
What
are we talking about? Bud Light Double Lime.
Bud Light Double Lime.
I think it sounds gross.
Do you like Bud Light Lime?
Not really much of a beer drinker. Not really much of a Bud Light drinker by extension. Why did you raise your eyes at me?
I don't know. I'm just... Coastal elite doesn't want to drink a beer.
Sort of the anti Brett Kavanaugh in many ways.
Yeah. that is when I think of you. That's usually what I think.
In all the ways that count. It sounds like it. I'm not opposed to the idea of a light beer with some lime. That sounds like a pleasant experience.
Yeah. You ever had a Corona?
The delicious. Old watering hole. I believe I have had a Corona.
Delicious on a dock. Oh, nothing better.
Sure. Hop on that dock. Shake It Off versus Style.
Yeah, I'm glad
Griffin.
That's what we devoted our Shake It Off versus Style time to.
Eyes are glued to the Blue Jays.
But I'm listening to you. People always say this. I've been getting this from, like, teachers since I was in, like, second grade. They'd be like, he's reading books under his desk. I'd be like, but I'm listening.
That is really the thing that unites us, is that we're the reading the books under the desk kids.
My grade 2 classroom had a lot of great books. I'll never forget one time I found a book. I forget what the subject of the book was, but it was written by Tracy West, who had also written several Pokemon novels. Mm. And so I picked up the book, saw that it was by Tracy West. Oh my god, turned to this girl who I knew, as you know, everyone in grade 2 class, but didn't really know that well, and went, this book is written by the same woman who writes the Pokemon novels. And she was like, okay, and walked away. And I was like, oh. Maybe not everyone shares my love for Tracy West.
Mm-hmm. What's she up to nowadays?
Tracy West? Good question.
Yeah, I'll look into it.
Yeah. Style beat Shake It Off, by the way.
Interesting. Well, she looks nice. Apparently she's written for many different licensed series, including Pokemon and SpongeBob SquarePants.
Wow.
And some other stuff. Wow. And frankly, Griffin... In 2015, her novelization of the film Penguins of Madagascar was nominated for the Scribe Award
by the
International Association of Media Tie-In Writers.
They got international associations for everything.
That sounds incredibly fake. But I know that the Wikipedia source resolves as a 404 error. But I assure you, this is incredibly real.
Tracy deserved that Scribe Award. Frankly, if that's what the award is for, she deserves several.
Do you want to quickly run through some previous Scribe Award winners?
Yeah, hit me.
Just pick a year and I'll give you the...
2004.
It only goes back to 2007, I'm afraid.
2007.
All right, in 2007, best... novel adapted, Marv Wolfman, of course, the legendary comics writer, won for the novelization of Superman Returns.
Okay, do you actually know Marv Wolfman?
Yeah.
I figured you might.
He wrote Crisis on Infinite Earths, of course, George Perez doing the art for that. An icon of the industry, certainly. I believe recently passed away as well.
Oh.
Best original novel, Griffin, 30 Days of Night, Rumors of the Undead.
Wow. Is there anything for the novelization of Revenge of the Sith? When did that come out? Because that's, like,
that's
one of the best books I've ever read.
Yeah, there's a Twitter account that just, I don't believe it exists anymore, but used to just tweet out quotes from the Revenge of the Sith novelization.
Like, legitimately so freaking good.
I agree with you. That's under speculative fiction.
Matthew Stover, I think the author was.
Wow. Of course, best novel adapted under general fiction... Snakes on a Plane by Krista Faust.
Let's go.
Beating out The Pink Panther by Max Allen Collins.
Who's buying the Snakes on a Plane novel?
And best original novel, Las Vegas, High Stakes Game, won over CSI New York, Blood on the Sun, Mr. Monk Goes to Hawaii, and Oakdale Confidential, Secrets Revealed.
Wow. Lots of interesting stuff.
Finally, in young adult, Buffy the Vampire Slayer Portal Through Time was the winner.
Okay. Style beats Shake It Off as we move on to the next round.
All right. Miss Americana and the Heartbreak Prince Griffin against Endgame.
Ooh, two more songs I know. I wanna be your Endgame. I think it's Miss M-A-T-H-P, as comment sections would say. I don't like how everything to do with Taylor Swift has been acronized, by the way. And that's probably would moved say to Akronotai, Ohio.
M-A-T-H-K, not M-A-T-H-P, as you...
Is it not Prince?
Oh, I wrote down the Heartbreak Kid. So I'm the fool.
You idiot. You complete fraud.
A classic film, of course.
Miss Americana and the Heartbreak Kid. Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Sure. You're naming the related things. This Is Me Trying from Folklore Griffin versus I Forgot That You Existed, the opening track to Lover. And let me just predict what you're going to say here. You're going to say, I forgot that you existed.
Great prediction. That's exactly what I was going to say verbatim. I like This Is Me Trying because it's how I feel doing this bracket.
Absolutely. It's come around on me for sure. I feel like all of those kind of middle... in my mind, there's always been a little bit of a dip in folklore, which is the This Is Me Trying, Illicit Affairs, Mad Woman, Invisible String section.
Oh, Illicit Affairs is a great song.
Yeah, and so is Invisible String. But I've started to come around on those. So I'm happy to send This Is Me Trying through, although I do really like I Forgot That You Existed. I think it's a little underrated. I think it's maybe a more successful version of the things that she's trying to do with Me and You Need to Calm Down.
Mm.
Like that very fluffy kind of song.
Right.
Big matchup here, yeah. Griffin. Hey Steven from Fearless versus Wildest Dreams from 1989.
It's Wildest Dreams.
Okay.
With all due respect to Steven.
Here's a song that you might consider one of the worst of all time, Griffin. The Best Day.
Terrible song.
We talked about it last week when we were talking about Never Grow Up versus Marjorie.
Marjorie is an amazing song.
I agree.
Two very sentimental songs.
That's a song that makes me cry every time.
I can see why. If I had love in my heart, I might feel the same way.
Absolutely. The Best Day, I think, is okay, but I get it is quite saccharine, which I think is your issue with it.
Yes.
Griffin, from Folklore, we have Epiphany, and then we have a 1989 vault track, Is It Over Now?
One sort of took
hit.
Off. Yeah.
Yeah.
The 1989 re-release. So I'll give it to that. I'll give it to Is It Over Now?
Mm-hmm. That's fine by me. The Man from Lover versus I Bet You Think About Me.
Oh, I love the I Bet You Think About Me with Chris Stapleton. Mm-hmm. That's one of my faves.
I agree with you. I've never been super partial to The Man, so I'm fine with that.
No, it did work well in the concert. I was enjoying it in the concert film.
Sure. Huge. Maybe the biggest hitting the pop filter of all time.
That one right there?
Yeah, it was a thumper.
Oh, sorry.
Not at all. I almost do. Kind of the undersung tearjerker of Red, now that All Too Well has sort of taken off. Against Dorothea, another Evermore album cut.
Sorry, I had to confirm my reservation for Korean Grill House tonight, but I don't know either of these songs.
Lucky. You excited?
I am. I love that, and we're doing it before we go to Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead, starring Dominic Monaghan and Billy Boyd.
Billy Boyd, of course. We're very excited about all that.
This I defer.
I think I'll go with I Almost Do. I do quite like Dorothea.
I know that one, actually. Little... Dorothea. Absolutely. She really hits the
Of course, Griffin, we have Taylor Swift's foray into drum and bass, Dancing with Our Hands Tied, a crazy song, versus Sweet Nothing.
And what do you think of her foray into drum and bass in general?
I think that song is pretty awesome, I have to say. certainly against Sweet Nothing, I have no qualms about pushing it through.
Yeah, I agree.
I love you in secret. The last great American dynasty griffin, famously one of my favorites, versus Tim McGraw, famously from an album I don't particularly care about.
Yeah, you didn't listen to Cowboy Carter. You don't care about Debut. I'm sensing a theme, but
but rap and country, Griffin. That's what I've always said.
The Last Great American Dynasty is one of the best, for sure.
I'm glad you feel that way. A couple of, I believe, both singles, Call It What You Want. Maybe she was sort of trying to coast off the success of the Foster the People song, the same name, versus We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together.
Of her massive mega hits, that ever-growing collection, I don't think We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together is super high on my list, but I do like it. It is fun in the club.
Not the club.
But if you want to give it to Call It What You Want, I'm fine
with that. I have no strong feelings for Call It What You Want. I'm happy to put We Are Never Ever through.
Call It What You Need.
Come in two great songs here, in my opinion, Griffin. Afterglow versus Clean.
Am I thinking of the right Afterglow? Am I thinking, isn't there an Ed Sheeran song called Afterglow? Afterglow.
Yes, I believe there is an Ed Sheeran song called Afterglow. Do you want to quickly do an Ed Sheeran bracket?
Yeah. That?
Okay.
The Ed Sheeran Afterglow is really good.
I mean, there's so many songs, Griffin. Let's do I'll give you a tough one right out the gate. Thinking Out Loud versus Castle on the Hill.
Oh, Castle on the Hill.
Wow. Huge. And then I'll go ahead and put Don't versus Galway Girl.
Oh, another tough one, but Galway Girl. And can we get an honorable mention for the rap song he has with Eminem and 50 Cent?
We absolutely can do that. And the name of it quickly?
Oh, man, what is that? I forget, but I remember he holds his own with two of them quotes.
And Castle on the Hill versus Galway Girl. I assume it has to be Castle
on the Hill. It does. I love Castle on the Hill.
A great song. Afterglow versus Clean
Girl. Can I vote for Ed Sheeran's Afterglow?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, and I'll go with Clean. So we're kind of at a standstill
here. Well, I guess that gives it to Clean, since I voted for someone who is ineligible.
On the Taylor Swift bracket, a tie does go to the Taylor Swift song. Oh, wow. Whoa. Two huge songs.
How does this keep happening? How do the songs that no one knows keep getting matched up against each other?
And then here we have Blank Space versus Cruel Summer.
Oh, man.
Monster match.
Listen, Blank Space monster is like match. A potential winner of this bracket, I think.
Wow.
But Cruel Summer is having a moment, and it's really exploded.
That was like a year ago.
It's still having a moment.
Sure.
As
far as I'm concerned, all these songs are having a moment.
When they're on this bracket, that's true. Big bumps come into all their streaming numbers.
I like big bumps.
And I cannot lie. Oh, I got a blank space, baby.
Yeah, just and sing a little name. Sort of to remind yourself of.
Well, I know. it's Cruel Summer.
Okay. I'm happy with that. Griffin, Lover, the title track of Lover, famously gets the title track bump, versus Tell Me Why from Fearless.
Tell Me Why isn't one of my standouts from Fearless. I do like it, but I'm happy to give it to Lover.
All right, we'll go with Lover. And we're closing in. Can you vamp for 4 seconds? No, never mind. My sneeze passed.
Oh, attaboy. Way to go, sneeze.
Oh, dear.
Your sneeze was a boy.
That was cool. I liked hearing the gears in your brain grind for a minute there as you debated whether or not you were willing to potentially have to take something out of the podcast. Griffin, we've got a firsty versus a lasty. The opening track on 1989, Welcome to New York, versus the last track on Reputation, New Year's Day. New Year's Day wasn't our best songs. Just remember that.
Just remember
before you pick which one you want to get through. Just think about the fact that
New Year's Day was our best songs. I never really loved Welcome to New York, so I'm happy to give it to New Year's Day.
Okay. I will say the first time I heard Welcome to New York, Taylor's version, was a big moment.
I don't. What?
Just saying.
You love to pretend and stir things up.
I'm not pretending anything.
You have an inside access to Taylor's version songs? that have not yet been released.
Do you know what album Welcome to New York is on?
Is it not on Reputation?
No, honey.
Oh, well then that...
You're hopeless.
My entire sort of conspiracy theory has come crumbling down around me.
Speaking of castles crumbling, The Way I Loved You versus Ready For It, Griffin.
Are you ready for The Way I Loved You to go through to the second round?
I believe that I am.
That's good.
Pretty good. two later songs here, Griffin. Maroon versus Nobody, No Crime. Featuring Haim, I have to add.
Yeah, we love Haim. Do you love Haim?
Of course. Come on.
Quick Haim. I will say,
yeah, absolutely.
The Steps wins.
Oh, great song, Griffin. Versus Summer Girl.
It's The Steps.
Great choice. And let's go with The Wire versus... what the heck's the name of that song? I can only think of the album title, which is, of course, Something to Tell You, their second album. But the song is, of course, called Founded in Silence.
The Wire.
Okay. And The Wire versus The Steps.
The Steps.
Great choice. Do you have any thoughts on this matchup here?
Maroon versus Nobody, No Crime. Listen, we love the country murder genre, but I like Maroon a lot, so I'm willing to give
Goodbye
it to
Maroon. Earl.
Great song.
I thought you said I like murdering a lot. So you're going to go with Maroon because in Nobody, No Crime, he gets punished for his murder.
Yeah. Quick chicks bracket, Chris.
Oh, Griffin, that's a 64 right
that's
there.
That's a 64. Wow. What happened to No Rap, No Country?
I'll tell you something, Griffin. I lied.
There's an exception.
Absolutely. I mean, truth number two. I mean, hey, happy birthday to Sharon. Huge Chicks fan.
Yeah.
We went to the concert, famously.
Oh, I went to the concert at the Budweiser?
Yeah, we talked about this, I believe, at the time.
Oh. Then never mind.
That's not what I meant. You know, Easy Silence, Griffin. Taking the Long Way. Top of the World, Lubbock or Leave It.
That one I don't know.
Tights on My Boat.
Okay, you are a bigger Chicks fan than I am.
Hey, in more ways than one, honey. Sparks Fly versus Karma.
Wow, another massive clash.
A Macla.
Jeez. This is tough. Sparks Fly versus Karma. We're talking about Karma by JoJo Siwa?
Yeah, that one that just came out.
Yeah. Sparks Fly.
Okay.
Wasn't there another song that I was singing earlier that I was actually singing Sparks Fly last week?
Yes, I believe you were singing... Speak Now. You thought it was Mine. Or Speak Now, yes, yeah. But it was actually Sparks Fly.
No, I wouldn't
Fly.
Have screwed up Mine. Come on.
Griffin, How You Get the Girl versus Cardigan.
Ooh, I like Cardigan.
I like How You Get the Girl. So we're a bit of an impasse here.
Call Evie.
I don't think she really cares that much about Cardigan.
Okay.
But I will call her. You want to quickly give us a Blue Jays update?
Yeah, Ernie Clement. Every time we do this, Ernie Clement is up to bat. This time he lines out to right field Juan Soto. Blue Jays up 1-0 in the top of the ninth. Clement lines out for the first out of the inning, and that'll bring up Alejandro Kirk.
Griffin, a huge upset.
Cardigan.
Just picked Cardigan.
Really?
We have to abide by the commissioner's decision.
Edie's not a fan of the gay ones today.
I'll be sure to question her sexuality once we're off the call. Griffin, Haunted versus Forever and Always.
Ooh.
I mean, I seem to
remember that you love Haunted.
I like Haunted. I wouldn't say I love it.
Okay, because I really love Forever and Always.
Yeah, I'm happy to send that one through. That's no sweat off my nose.
You're a generous partner.
Honey?
You have no idea.
And finally, Griffin, Long Live, of course, sort of experienced a renewed love.
The credit song.
For being the credit song of the movie. And I said, I believe I said to you at the time, oh, you don't know Long Live? You're going to love it.
Yeah, I believe I do. the song to my unfinished tribute video tribute to the Overwatch League that I never got around to finishing, but
sure,
wanted to. Would have been a good video.
It'll be back.
No, it won't. New It'll Romantics. Be back and
more expensive than ever.
New Romantics, I only ever think of, like, the New Mutants. That weird X-Men show.
Not weird, not a show, but continue.
Alejandro Kirk lines a single into the gap in left center. He's now 3 for 4 on the day. It's long live. Day.
All right. We'll put that through. And Griffin, we are done.
Wow. We actually have 10 minutes to spare here.
Wow. What do you want to talk about?
What do you want to do for 10 minutes?
Bronny James is entering the NBA draft, Griffin.
Yeah, I don't know how that's going to work out for him.
I think we might see him dip his... Of course, he famously also entered...
The transfer portal.
The transfer portal, which I think is a good call. So I think... I don't know if we'll see him. I really have no idea what the state of affairs is with, like, how teams are viewing him. Because there's the whole LeBron thing. But, like, if you run a team, you can't take that seriously,
no,
right?
No, you can't. Also, like, you can't spend a first-round draft pick on a kid who you wouldn't have drafted otherwise, and then be like, but you said, like...
But don't you kind of have to?
No. I don't know, do you? Like, do you think he actually will leave the Lakers and go to the... spend the last years of his career playing for the Minnesota Timberwolves because they drafted Bronny James? I mean, I guess the chance to play with your son is pretty crazy, but will his son even play? He averaged 4 points a game.
He will not play, for sure. I believe we talked about this at the time, that you're also spending a roster spot on someone who probably cannot play at an NBA level.
And also apparently has a heart condition.
Sure. Well, that's a whole...
Loves too much. That's my heart condition.
Mm-hmm.
No, okay. Yeah, you're right in that I have no idea how teams are going to approach this. Like, I guess if you're picking in the late first round, the Raptors will have pick number 31, most likely, with the Detroit Pistons, second rounder. Could you see them doing that?
The Raptors with, like, the 32nd pick or whatever it is?
Yeah, thanks for listening to me.
Well, listen, Griffin, I was looking at the baseball game. I could see them not doing that for sure.
But could you see them doing that?
That's interesting. I mean, this is the thing. Like, I have no idea, honestly. Like, because the other thing is that the Raptors could also pay him, you know, like a max or a near max contract. And I assume that
LeBron
will
James
be an element. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he's not going to take, like, the taxpayer MLE, is he? Like,
you
he
don't
must
think he's
want...
made enough money at this point?
You don't think he wants to make, like, at least, like, $15 million? Especially if he's opting out of his player option, which is, like, I think must be in the 40s, right?
Yeah. I feel like I don't think he's actually going to leave the Lakers.
Well, then the Lakers will just have to take him, which I think
don't
they
you
would.
Think that the Lakers that spend a second round happen? Pick on Bronny James?
What about a first round pick?
Do they have a first round pick?
That's a great question. I don't know that they do.
Well,
it might be a swap. $51 million, his player
that's
option.
That's a lot
for
of money
season.
To give up.
Yeah, he should just throw $1 million of that my way.
Yeah, what does he need? A Dalton Varshow ground ball single. See if Alejandro Kirk can go first to third on a single. He cannot. Chris, I don't know how to tell you this. Alejandro Kirk did not go first to third on a single.
On a grounder.
Yeah. That went directly to Aaron Judge in center field.
How about those White Sox, Griffin?
Not good.
Not good. Oh, also, the other thing. WrestleMania is this weekend.
I just saw an ad for it. Okay, well, I assume it's Cody versus Roman on Sunday night.
That's exactly right. That is the main event on night 2.
I will be in Niagara Falls. I'm going down for the eclipse, so maybe I'll find a place.
I'll bet you could. And night 1, Griffin, a fascinating matchup. it's going to be Roman Reigns and The Rock in a tag match against Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes. What do you think about that?
I find it weird that the two of them are going to fight the day before they fight in the main fight.
It's very weird. This is like...
Is that... So that is weird. That's not just my amateur...
Yes, this was like a weird hole they put themselves into and then had to dig themselves out. I don't know if you remember this at the time, Griffin, but after the Royal Rumble, Cody Rhodes on, I believe, Monday Night Raw, frankly, he sort of came out and was like, okay, I won the Royal Rumble, but I'm actually not going to challenge you, Roman Reigns. Of course, famously, he lost to him last year.
Right.
And he was like, instead, I'm going to bring in The Rock, and The Rock is going to challenge you. And what? This was like the story they were presenting.
Why?
Because if you can get The Rock to have a wrestling match, it should be like the main event, you'd think.
Right.
And it should be against Roman Reigns because they're related. And it's just, you know, like, that's your biggest star. But then they realized, wait a minute, everyone is against this. Everyone's mad at us now because we spent 2 years
hyping up Cody Rhodes versus
building this Cody Rhodes thing, and now it's just switching over to The Rock, and Cody looks like an idiot because he's like, I won the Royal Rumble, I have the right to challenge you again, but I'm not going to, and I'm instead going to give up right. my spot
in
to
the universe Rock. What is the logic behind Cody?
Well, the logic was meant to be... They basically dropped this completely and never fully explained why.
Oh.
The in-universe explanation he gave was like, I don't just want the title. I want to, like, completely destroy you. And for some reason...
I can't do that.
Not totally clear how it factors in, but for some reason, The Rock was necessary to make that happen.
Right.
But then The Rock just kind of turned into a heel instead, and then Cody challenged Roman anyways, and then The Rock joined Roman. And they never, as far as I'm aware, they never gave a concrete explanation as to why the first time The Rock came out and was like, I'm going against you, Roman. And then shortly after, we're like, but we're buddies.
Yeah.
But so that was kind of the situation they found themselves in. And so then it became, well, like, if he's not, he should be in a match with Roman, but he's can't be in the main event. And so we've got this tag match now.
Right. And that will, do you think that'll be more exciting for people than the main event, or will people not care?
No, I mean, I think people are excited for that just because, you know, it's The Rock. That's fun to have him be there. And the other thing is that there's this stipulation, which is that if The Rock and it's that the winning team gets to choose what kind of match the main event match will then be. And
will either of them not choose wrestling?
If Cody Rhodes wins and chooses a boxing match, that would be awesome.
A chess match.
But with the idea, I think where they're sort of leading with that is that you're fully watching the Blue Jays.
I am listening to you.
The idea being that The Rock and Roman Reigns will win this tag match, and then they will choose what they call bloodline rules, which is basically just like, we can interfere in the match however we want.
They did that last year without those rules.
So true, Griffin. You're really starting to understand wrestling's inconsistent internal logic. But the idea that people have sort of been bandying this about, and it does seem like this is the direction they're going, that, like, there will be this, like, a la the Avengers, people are calling it the Cody-Vengers, that Cody will call in all of these people to battle against the bloodline.
So Roman will be suckered in. His own rules will be used against him.
Exactly. And then it's like, oh, it's The Rock. The Rock's going to be there. Who's The Rock's greatest rival? Stone Cold.
Oh.
So will Stone Cold be there? And, you know, there's obviously that storyline from last year with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. So they could show up. And so that people are getting excited about this idea. And I do think it will be fun.
But, that does it. Every time I'm out on wrestling, when you say, like, as stupid as it is, watching it last year, it did, like, really bother me that Roman and the Bloodline were cheating. But, like,
No.
In like a way where I was also like, so why the hell should I watch this if if they can cheat and get away with it?
That is like, the line that you ride in wrestling is like, there still has to be a belief and an investment on the part of the fans that like, this is something that matters.
Yeah, but then you tell me about the Cody Vengers and I'm immediately back in.
And Griffin, quite frankly, the Blue Jays have loaded the bases.
They've also scored a run off the back of two wild pitches from this guy, Birdie.
So best of luck to Birdie. That's going to do it for us today. We're now well into April, but we'll be back next week to continue, hopefully to conclude this bracket.
You think we can do the entire bracket next week?
Well, isn't that the idea? That aren't we now?
We are halfway through the bracket.
Right. Well, I guess we might have to do two more episodes, but we'll see.
We will have known all the songs now. We'll have discussed them all. We can probably pick up the pace.
Absolutely.
Thank you all for listening. Enjoy WrestleMania this weekend, Chris. Mm-hmm.
Enjoy the last inning of this Blue Jays game for everyone who's listening live.
Yeah. We'll see how quick. Maybe I can turn this around before the Blue Jays game finishes. I got five outs.
Group 497 on Twitter, C House and Jane on Twitter, HFLC Podcast on Twitter. Until next time, please remember to keep your floors high.